What's good, people? Welcome to another episode of The Realist Debates with myself, the realist one, Jay.
This is Lengman Joseph from around the ways, aka Joey Leng, but just call me Joey.
I am Vary, otherwise known as The Face in the Crowd on Instagram.
I'm Liz, aka also known as Liz. I'm also an apathetic royal observer.
Welcome, okay. Guys.
Welcome, welcome.
Nice introduction.
Yeah. And yeah, just first and foremost, thank you both for coming. So let's just kick it off. Monday.
Wow.
A mad interview went out.
Absolutely.
You know? I'm pretty sure I know what everyone was doing at 9 o'clock come Monday. But just before we get into what was said during the interview, I just want to go back a little bit. And go back to, was it 2016, when Meghan and Harry first got together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What were, throw it out to you, Liz, what were your thoughts? And did you think it would last?
Oh, why have you got to come to me first?
You got to start somewhere.
I had a lot of thoughts. The first one I thought, and I think Gina Yashe, the comedian, actually said it, it's like amazing for Harry and the love they had. But as Gina said, he didn't bring home Lupita. Do you know what I mean? He weren't bringing home someone that looked like me. So I was happy for Harry because I feel like I've grown up with him. Mm. But I wasn't like, oh my God, in fanfare. And another two sort of thoughts that I kind of had was like, is love still a political thing in the 21st century? Mm. Why is who you love still political? Why can't it be this is who I'm with and doesn't have to be this fanfare? And like the other sort of thought I kind of had at that time was like, why do we still, like we always talk about in the black community about, you know, inviting people to the cookout. But the real is we still want to be involved in the institution. Does that make sense? And when she was in there, everyone was kind of being like, oh, you know, this is a good stride for black people. Why do we want our foot in the door in an institution that kind of essentially benefited and profited off our ancestors' pain and people theft? So that was my initial thoughts at the time. So maybe you should not come to me first. But what I kind of thought.
Fair enough. Moving on to yourself.
Obviously, my opinion's different on it. And I just saw that Harry was a bit of a player and I thought he was doing it for clout and potentially to try and be provocative. Mm. Like, I didn't believe that necessarily it was going to end in a marriage. I thought he was trying to do it to ruffle a few feathers and to continue with, like, what he was doing. Like, he was all over the press, like, doing, like, outrageous things. And I believe that he thought it was going to annoy the Queen and annoy people in general. And that's kind of what he was doing in the media at the time.
Can I add, what outrageous things do you think he was doing?
Like when he did that thing where he got like naked and like there was also all that thing where he dressed up as Hitler and then not that long after he was gay and a woman of colour. So I felt like there was an agenda. I didn't believe that it was going to end in a marriage. Mm. So. Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm not a royal observer, so I can't say I paid.
I'm an apathetic one. So.
Just putting that disclaimer out. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely didn't think it was going to end the way that it has, and I didn't think I was going to end up with the respect for Harry that I now have.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I think, I'm not a royal observer at all. I don't follow it that much, but I think the first thing that came to my head when I saw that they were dating was, seems like Harry. It's something I'd expect from him to do because he's always kind of gone against the grain in the family. And I almost think of him like, see Harry, he could be in my football team. You know?
Yeah.
He could be Mandan.
He seems
kind of cool. So I wasn't very shocked when he got with Meghan. And it seemed natural. But what I would say is I don't think I thought it would have lasted.
Mm.
And mainly because of all of the outside pressures that we're seeing right now at the moment, which is good. It seems as though it's brought them closer together.
Mm.
But yeah, just with the media and everything, I didn't think that they would last. But I don't know about you.
Boy, when they first got together, I was a bit confused. obviously, my knowledge of Megan has come from Suits. So I just basically saw her as an actress. And that's not to take anything away from her. But at the same time, to me, it just seemed like an odd couple. Not because of the color of her skin, don't get me wrong, just because of the backgrounds of the two. So in terms of longevity, I'll be real, I didn't see it lasting. And what, it's been, what, 5-6 years now. So from 2016 to present day, I definitely would say, I definitely didn't see it lasting. So yeah, fair play to them at the same time. But at the, when it first got together, it just looked like a mismatch. And I didn't see it lasting, to be honest.
Most definitely. And I think whilst I expected, I wasn't surprised they were together. What I was surprised about was how long it lasted. I thought they would have just dated. It would have separated.
Flash in the pan.
Pretty much. Whether it would have been because of them two or because of everyone else outside, I didn't know, but I was very, very surprised when it got to engagement and marriage stage. But what I thought was, wow, this is progressive, you know?
They're doing this thing.
And I think because it almost seemed as though history was repeating itself a bit. You might need to polish me up on my facts a bit here, but wasn't it, I want to say, is it Simone Wallace, who was American? Wallace Simpson, thank you. Who was an American divorcee, that, and a socialite, I might want to say, that basically, King Edward?
Absolutely, the eighth.
Thank you, yes. That, you know.
All right, you two.
Sorry.
Just leave the room.
You know, it just seemed as though history repeated itself where a man fell in love with someone that was
American.
Yeah.
A divorcee.
Exactly. And in other words, undesirable to that mold of family. And we saw how that ended. And I thought, okay, this is them learning from their mistakes. Especially from the outside and aesthetically, from the aesthetics, you see as though it seems as though they've embraced her.
She was doing bits with the Queen, she was saying.
Yeah, it seems as though they were they were very, very pally, you know. But I want to fast forward a little bit to come a bit more to the present day, because we know that for years since they've been together, whether they was dating or married, there's been a lot of pressure on them from the press, from the public, just from everyone. And this interview with Oprah seemed to be their opportunity to bring their version of the story to light. But I think just before the story was about to come out, there was 2018 allegations of bullying that came back up involving Meghan Markle. And yeah, what's your guys' thoughts on that? Throw it to you, Valerie.
Well, I have a friend who works in the realm where she has dealings with the royal family herself. So I spoke to her about it to get her opinion because she's got a bit of inside information. And she said it's not so much Meghan being a bully. She just didn't understand what it was like to be in a palace and have staff. So to her, she was kind of treating them like they were like waitresses or servants to a degree, when actually royal staff aren't there to do that. They're there to support the living, but not, you know, to completely do everything for the person. So my friend's version of events was that it's that Meghan didn't really know how to act in those like circles and how to behave that with that, whether or not she's a bully, I don't think she is. But we don't know what's gone on behind the palace doors. I think it's very easy to have a narrative of a woman in general. If a woman is powerful, stands up for herself, does any of those things, like lots of women watching or listening will agree that we've been called bullies or nasty or whatever because we've had an opinion and gone against the grain. So do I think Megan's a bully? No. Do I think she's misunderstood? Yes, greatly. Yeah. And that's probably as simply as I can put it without knowing her.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Liz, what did you make of the timing of these revelations?
Boy, I lolled so hard. I was like, here we go. Here we go. I just want to just quickly go back to your point about, it's really interesting with the servants or the staff in these royal chambers. They tend to be quite generational in the sense that how their great-granddad was, I don't know, the chef, the head chef. So it kind of gets passed down. So I think you got to remember as well that Megan is an outsider and she's coming into generations of people doing the same job.
Yeah.
So obviously the way you talk to them, maybe certain royal members know about maybe someone's, you know, great granddad being sick once and la la la. She don't come from there. Do you know what I'm saying? And Dave, it's not for, if you're getting employed, you can't, it's not for Megan to bend to them. It's for them to bend to her style. She's not from that country. They've all got each other. They're from England.
Yeah.
She's come from America. It's a totally different culture. Yeah. And you know what? She was a millionaire before she came here. She was doing well in suits. So to be like that, you have drive and you're not taking any beep, beep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
Just swear, don't worry.
Oh my God, okay. She's no bullshit, man. Do you know what I'm saying? No, it's just how Americans are brash like that. And that's just them. And I was lolling so hard, because I was reading in the news, they would say stuff like, oh, it's the surviving Sussex Club, like surviving R. Kelly. Oh, they got PTSD. But what I think for me was most interesting was that how HR then said they're going to launch an inquiry, but it happened 3 years ago. That is the shittiest HR department I have met. Why are you waiting for the bully to leave before you're going to do investigations?
Yeah.
That's just how poor and how you do not actually treat your staff any good. So who's actually the issue? Is it Megan, who didn't understand the customs and cultures coming to England, or is it the HR team who saw it happen allegedly, who got all these statements allegedly and did nothing? Do you know what I'm saying? And it is all convenient. Now you want to run around and do inquiries. Is it because you woke up from your slumber and now because Megan's going to open her mouth, everyone wants to take her down. It was so predictable. Yeah. It had all the isms. It had the racism, the sexism. Yeah. It's just like, guys, like, come harder. Come harder than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So those are my little thoughts on that particular element.
Yeah. I think you're being a little bit polite in terms of saying that it was complacency, you know, because the way I read it from them is they've had emails of complaints
allegedly
since 2018, and that's gone to senior people within the institution. So to me, you've just admitted that you sat on it until it became convenient put it out into the ether. And I feel as though that message a little bit has been lost because as I've said, it seems as though they've had the receipts since 2018.
Allegedly.
Of course. So it just seems as though the timing that you want to start investigating it a week, a few days before an interview it's that's going to shed someone's version of their narrative that involves you seems a bit fishy in my eyes. I don't know what you think.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say you've both been polite. The word is called agenda.
Is
the word. Like, come on, man. Like, you've had this since 2018 and done nothing with it. You hear that there's an interview because obviously they knew before we did that there was gonna be Megan coming out with something. So they're like, oh shit,
we best find
what can we get?
Can we like
scrambling around? Yeah. It's like, oh shit, you got that from 20. Bring it. So that's how I saw it. It was blatantly an agenda. And that's not even me sticking up for her. That's just me seeing it for
what it is.
Yeah.
And just to add, the fact that how, like you just said, to hop on your point, the fact that they even try to find negative stuff.
Mm.
They knew that however they treated her was negative. So they were going to counteract that because apparently they hadn't even seen their interview.
Mm.
So why would you think it was negative? If you know all you've ever done was positive for her, why are you coming with the negative straight away? So you've already found, like, we've already found you out from that. But
Real talk.
And if she really was a bully, the press have been handing her this whole time. So if they really had this information, or somebody had this information on her from 3 years ago. Why wasn't it released 3 years ago? Because they've been dragging her through the mud this whole time.
Literally.
So why all of a sudden now are they like, oh yeah, Megan's money, let's put it out there. Mm, it could have been just as like detrimental to her 3 years ago. It didn't need to be 3 days before the Oprah interview. Like you say, it's just a complete agenda.
And also on the back of that, if you had that 3 years ago and you want to put her in a bad light, then's the time to do it. Like before the interview comes up and you've got something, it looks like you're counteracting something. Before she's come out and said anything, you could have said, okay, she's a bully, hung her out to the public and then just let the rest do itself. But they didn't even do that. So the fact that it's something's come up and then you're throwing out the accusations, to me, it stunk a lot, man.
Yeah.
Stunk a lot.
Very fishy.
No, I do agree. So listen, let's just get into the proper meat and bones of the conversation.
The meat and potatoes.
Chicken and rice. Listen,
the interview. Woo. So assuming we all watched it, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Lovely. That's been awkward. So I think quite a few things popped out at me that really rung home. And one of the initial points that I think Megan was making was that with this negative press around her, she never felt as though she was supported by the family. Now, I want to get you guys' thoughts on that in terms of what you think, Liz.
But I was actually I want to throw it back out again. Are we playing volleyball? I'm throwing things back. Like, just to add to your question as well, one thing that was confusing, one minute Megan was saying, you've got to realise, Oprah, there's the institution and there's the family. So who wasn't supporting her? Was it the institution or the family were? But aren't they one in the same? Isn't the monarch one in the same?
Yeah.
It was very cloudy.
Yeah.
Very, very cloudy. So I'm like, but was that her way of protecting someone? Because she just not trying to throw everyone on the bus in one go.
Or trying to protect herself. Because if you complete out, go against the monarchy as a whole, someone might come for you. You don't know, like, maybe she was holding herself back slightly to protect herself. Like,
look, I just want to ask you guys, I'm throwing it out there, man. Please, God, can my British passport not be revoked, but do you know what I mean? My mum and dad worked too hard to get that to me. I can't shame them now, man.
This pressure's going to be dangerous.
No, it's not dangerous. It's not dangerous. But I just want to know, like, what was Granny doing, man? Because what she was talking about, lack of support in it, Because according to Megan, from what I heard, Granny gave her some pearls on one trip, which are always ethically questionable because they're taken from live people. But anyway, live beings. Environmental issue. But anyway, so Granny gave you some pearls, and you know, Granny, you know, when your knees were cold, she put a blanket over you. That's all you did for me in 4 years, yeah? Do you know what I'm saying? Nothing else you can do. Because when she's going on, it's like, oh, the Queen was amazing, but it was other people. The Queen is the head of the state. The Queen is the head of the monarch. Do you know what I'm saying? So Anne, it all stops with her. What support was she providing to Meghan? Because I didn't get any from that.
No.
Do you know, so, what I took from some of what Meghan and Harry were saying, in terms of the lack of support from the family, but also the distinct difference between the institution and family, is that institution, like, they're the ones running shit. That's what I took from it.
The Queen's the face,
I think what I got from it was like, listen, there are some people in the family, they're all right, you know, they're kind of blessed.
Yeah,
but listen, they're trapped in a system, innit? And they don't know how to speak out because then their pattern's going to get ruined, you know? So they just stay quiet. And I think that's what they didn't like a lot of.
I believe that. Joey, I'm sorry. I'm like, let's get really into it, because what you're doing is deflecting away from responsibility. It's like Mark Zuckerberg runs Facebook. When he got called to trial about that, you know, the Cambridge scandal, analytical scandal, it was Mark Zuckerberg that was in the court defending Facebook. He is the CEO. He is the head. Yes, there's many board of directors under him and doing all that other stuff. But when it comes down to it, the buck stops with him, right? Mm-hmm. And the same way, this is the queen. The buck stops with her. She mm-hmm. has all the power. Do mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so, I agree with you. Yeah. And that's how it should be. But yeah. I think what they're trying to tell us is, you lot think that, and that's yeah. how it should be. But really and truly, that's not the case. That's not the case. Because from what it sounds like, even to talk to the queen is palaver.
Yeah.
And is she even getting the messages that you're trying to get through to her?
But is it?
Until you go nuclear, like, you know what? I'm leaving the family. Maybe she's not heard anything until I don't know.
I want to ask you both a question then, because it's talking about the actual help. I want to ask, how was she supposed to get this help? Because at the end of the day, like you're saying, the queen is the face of it. Then you've got people behind the scenes. In terms of how the public and the perception was of Meghan and how she was being chased and harassed, etc., how was she going to get this help? Like, what could the establishment, the monarchy, whatever you want to call it, how could they have helped her? Because me, I'm not going to lie, I'm not as versed on the royal family for instance, you. But
don't put my face next to them.
I just have age on my side, so I just remember things historically.
They're the original Kardashians. That's why I watch them. Then watch them like that.
But how? So, for example, what could the Queen have done to help Meghan in that situation?
Well, I just want to quickly go back to Joey's point when he said that, oh, you know, it's a palaver to talk to the Queen. Mm. Did you hear how Meghan said she first met the Queen? She was already, they were somewhere like with Eugenie and then they just walked down the road.
So
it's not that hard to get hold of the Queen, allegedly, according to her words. Mm. One, and two, what help? And she said she went to HR and said, look, man, I'm out here trying to kill myself. I'm pregnant. Help me out. And they said, you're not, even though that's another thing I don't understand, but you're not actually working
well.
We're
going to come to that one.
Yeah, so we can't afford it. So, and the Queen, you tell me you ain't got a tenner. We ain't got a tenant to try and help her. Put her in some sort of high, specialised, private... Do you know what I'm saying? I hate using the word institution, but mental health support.
I mean, I've only watched The Crown, really, to know, and that's not even legit.
Yeah.
But you can kind of gauge what kind of perception... Say Meghan, it all came out in the papers. Meghan's sick and this, that, and the other. The institution, the monarchy, whatever you want to call it, still have to protect themselves at the end of the day, in a sense that Harry's brought this person in and now she's having these sorts of effects or whatever. Mm. So from an institution point of view, if that comes out, they're going to look bad. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to gauge, is how they could have helped her in a way, which we all know she needed that help. Mm. But how could they have done it in a way where it would have benefited Meghan and also not have made them look bad how they thought they would have came out of it?
Do you know how many gagging orders they are? There's so many things they can do. Essentially, she needed mental health support. So my thing is to find somewhere that is discreet that can provide her with that support, and then literally NDA the shit out of everyone in there. That's it. And they, what you're saying to me, the institution needs to protect themselves. The institution's been going on for thousands of years. They're going to be all right, man. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Themselves.
And what's more important, we're thinking about human beings, literally a woman who is carrying another human versus an institution that's been around for thousands of years and will still continue. There's no mark on a human life.
I wasn't condoning. I was just trying to gauge how it could have been done.
That's what I'm trying to say. They're not looking at people as people with feelings and mental health issues. They're looking at them as, oh, how's that going to look for our brand? There's nothing more important than a human life.
I agree with you.
Do you know what I mean?
Agree, but some people out there watching, they're probably asking that basic question. How could they have helped her? What could they have done without thinking of the repercussions that could have came with it. So
boy, like, I don't want to go all over the place. But I said, and I know you're just doing devil's advocate stuff. Mm-hmm. But essentially, is it the family? That's when the family come in. F the institution, the family.
I agree.
Granny, you know, dad-in-law, what's brother-in-law doing? Like, that's when you all come together as a family and you support people and you support that individual. Mm-hmm. What were they doing?
And that's the difference. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you know what? I think the help support system you're talking about is too late.
Yeah.
The second I know what Harry and Meghan was serious, we have to make this work no matter what.
Mm.
Do you know what? We have to make sure she assimilates into the family as much as possible.
Mm.
So even for the first year, no negative press. We can't, we can't have it. We can't let anything get to her that makes her makes that bubble of the honeymoon period they're in burst. We have to make sure that she settles in nicely.
Yeah.
And if that happened, a lot of these problems wouldn't be here today if they just fully accepted her and really gave her the support that she would have needed, that anyone needs when they come into a family, especially a family like that.
And literally off the back of that, I was playing devil's advocate with Liz, but saying that, what off the back of what you said, is that if they did just treat her like one of them, because if it happened to, for example, Kate Middleton, how would they have dealt with it? Do you get what I'm saying? And that's where I feel that Meghan's coming from, is if it did happen to a Kate Middleton, it would have been a hush-hush thing. It would have been all behind the scenes and she would have got dealt with. So, yeah, I was just messing with Liz.
No, no, no. Wait, I'm ready. I'm ready
you
for
the
award.
Gunfingers
are out of here, man. But I just wanted to add as well, really quickly, just from a psychological point of view, like, you know, in a way, and I've just said what I've just said, but on the flip side, part of me thinks the royal family handled her how they would handle everyone else. And I just say that because you got to remember, like, these people have serious attachment issues. Essentially, attachment, for people that don't know, is about basically how you are cared for as a child. And if you're not cared for and your needs aren't met by your caregiver, then it will impact how you form relationships growing up. And I started thinking about them and thinking they've all went to boarding school. And from early, they were put in boarding school from age 3-4 years old. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And only came back on holidays. And there's a really famous picture of when Charles was about 4 years old and he'd come back from boarding school and he went to greet his mum, which is the Queen, and he just shook her hand. Mm. That's how distant and far off they were. So how many times growing up was he not, was his needs not met? Was Charles's needs not met? Was the Queen's needs not met?
So just goes on.
He just goes on historically. He's been going on like for centuries. They've got so much attachment issues. So actually when Meghan did come and go, I'm not doing well. Again, the way I just said it, like, you know, that's a family, will come together and help each other. They're not from that family. Because when there's problems,
probably never spoken about.
You see, they get chipped away and then only come back, and that's how it's been. So how can they really be attuned to someone's needs? So just on the sort of flip side of that.
No, I agree. And moving on from that, like, the questions I wanted to come to you, Very, on this one, in regards to her mental health, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I can believe that nobody offered her help, because I think that with mental health, like, in general, it is still so misunderstood. And because she is a very well put together, confident, like, intelligent woman, her going to somebody, especially, I think, the royal family or the institutions that their HR, whatever it is, they're not going to believe, because she doesn't look like someone who is thinking about taking her life.
Right.
They're not going to have taken her seriously. And we already know historically, whether you believe the press, that they didn't take Diana seriously when she suffered with her mental health and her bulimia and whatever else. And I think it was Princess Anne that had a lot of problems with her mental health. They don't talk about it. They clearly, it's always brushed under the carpet. And I think definitely middle-class society, it is the stiff upper lip culture. You just, like, get on with it. And I think for them to have admitted that she had a problem with her mental health and she felt suicidal, they would have had to take some ownership on how they'd allowed her to be treated. So that was just never going to run. Like, I just don't. I think that conversation did happen, and I think they knew how detrimental that was going to be to them. So they didn't allow it to be leaked and just made her go to that appearance that she spoke about and made her still go out there and be this face and this united front with Harry. They didn't want her to be breaking down when she was pregnant with, you know, a royal baby, Archie still was at that time.
Possibly the future king, yeah.
Archie, he was never going to be the future king unless there was a massive earthquake, poisoning, everything.
But it had officially been, you know, put out there at that point. I definitely believe, like, I've had personal experience of people just being like, oh, you know, like, you're really confident, you're this, you're that, you can't feel like that. And it is still things that people with mental health issues deal with like on a regular basis. So I 100% can see that that did happen to Meghan. I have no doubts in my mind. And pregnancy and mental health is also a huge thing. Like women who have never had problems with their mental health before then have it in pregnancy. So she had all these external factors and was struggling to be accepted. And she had people like attacking her and attacking her like nature from all sides, plus her pregnancy hormones. Of course, I believe that she could have been suicidal. Like that it's a huge thing for anybody to take on. She changed her whole life and gave up so much to be with the man that she loved and received nothing but hate in return. Like I feel for her.
I want to add as well to what you're just saying about like the pregnancy hormones and stuff. Everyone knows about postnatal depression that happens when people have children, just have a baby. But people don't understand there's also something called prenatal depression where you can have, when you can experience mental health issues because you're pregnant and prior to actually, you know, having a child. And like you said, coupled with her isolation, cultural isolation, she's come to another country.
Yeah.
She's from Cali, man. It's warm out there. Even the weather alone, they're sad, isn't there? Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
That alone can finish someone. You with me?
That sun.
Let alone. John, I'm not even speaking. Yeah, we both all speak English, but we ain't speaking the English. Do you know what I mean?
So different. Mm. And the thing that got me was when she said that she didn't have a driving license, she didn't have a passport, she didn't have keys. Like, her whole, like, her whole identity had been taken. Like she was now just this person who, and I know from my own like mental health struggles, if you are that isolated, like people are saying, why didn't she use a like actress money? Why didn't she do this? Why? When your mind is starting to think like that, you don't think in a normal way. You don't think, all right, okay, I know these people love me, so they help me out. Or I know that I've got this money in the bank, so I can do this. Your brain's telling you like, oh, I'm worthless, I'm this, I'm that. And you're going around in this circle. So it's not as simple as being like, oh yeah, I've got all this money in the bank, I'm going to get help. If she was genuinely isolated and she went to one person and plucked up the courage to go to whoever it was she went to say, I'm struggling, this is how I'm feeling. And they were like, well, you know, we can't really help you. This can't get out there, whatever was said. That is then just going to build on that belief that she had that, like, she wasn't worthy or it wasn't really that much of a problem. Like,
plus the public perception of everyone telling her that as well.
And she probably wouldn't want to go out there and go against the grain. And she knew that everybody was saying these things about her. So if she then came out and said that she was suicidal, can you imagine? Oh, pregnant Meghan wants to kill herself and the baby. Like, can you imagine the press that and how that would have been perceived? And like, I could only imagine how I would like feel as a future mother with the hormones and stuff and having to deal with the fact that people are saying that you want to kill yourself and your unborn child. It would have been huge for her. So it, like, my heart went out to it. Like, I cried when I watched it because I just thought, I know how it feels to be in that place where you genuinely feel so worthless and then to feel like she had nowhere to go and she was trapped and in this culture and like situation where she wasn't understood and she didn't quite understand. That would just compound it even more, like the way that she was feeling. It's like, I think it's horrific.
I just want to add, there's people that are going to be watching this or listening to this and, you know, probably experiencing some of the symptoms that, you know, some of the experiences that you've had and Meghan has described that she's had too. And like, for those people, what would you say to them to do? Would you say to go and contact social care and get a mental health assessment, speak to someone? What advice would you give?
Yeah, definitely. You need to speak to somebody. You need to get it from your head and your heart and out into the open and, like, you know, to speak up. And it isn't easy. Like, it was definitely one of the hardest things I ever did when I had to step forward and get help. But there is help out there, and getting the right mental health support, medication, counselling, whatever it may be, or even just confiding in a friend that you can trust and they take some of that weight from you depending on the seriousness of how you feel. Like, that's going to help.
Absolutely. I would say as well, contact Samaritans or your GP as well, if there is no one in your immediate circle you think you can talk to about this, because it's really important that people go out and reach help and not just...
Big advice right there.
Yeah.
Because there's so, like, obviously, we all know we're in a pandemic right now. So many people are suffering, more than ever, people are being stuck at home with their thoughts. So, and having to sit with uncomfortable feelings that they'd normally drink away or party away or shop away or however.
Or just people with who are experiencing domestic violence before going out was their reprieve. Now they're stuck in a situation with probably their abuser. Situation. So, you know, again, you know, there are advice lines like Solace that I would say Women's Aid, Solace Women's Aid is now the same thing. Actually, Southall Black Sisters for people who are experiencing DA within their homes. Because I know this podcast is international, like exactly.
We overseas, baby.
Exactly, bonjour, Paris. Like, you know what I mean. So, I just want to throw that out there, because the people who are really connecting, the same way you connected with Megan, I connected with Megan. Same with what you're saying now, people are connecting with you. So, I just want to just add where they can go and get that additional support for themselves.
Definitely. No, that's big. That's big.
Yeah, and just shifting it just ever so slightly to...
Before we do that, I want to say one more thing.
Go on.
The absolute piss take, man. Not to, like, obviously the deep convo. Like, I thought William and Kate, didn't they have their own charity, Heads Together, which is about mental health?
Yeah.
And apparently Will was, he's studying to be a counsellor, and you can't help your sister-in-law.
Is he?
Wow, yeah.
Great.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he's been on the phone, on the Viceline phone to support people with mental health. So you're doing all that on road, but your sister-in-law's in the house, you know, really experiencing serious things. And allegedly, you were asking her what shade her skin is. Allegedly, we don't know if it was him, but madness. So when she said at the start of the thing that nothing is what it seems. That's what she's talking about. Like, how can you say your Heads Together, that's a charity, but you're not helping the people in your yard? Like, that's mad.
Sorry,
Joey. Yeah, and do you know what actually annoyed me the most was hearing a lot of people. It annoyed me, but it didn't surprise me hearing a lot of people that rubbished her claims, didn't believe her.
That vexed me, and
that vexed me, because I think you know, you're trying to say that someone has come on national TV, right, and has told you, I felt so hounded, so alone, so under pressure that whilst I was pregnant, I didn't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, one day her son's going to have to listen to that, you know, and know that that's what his mum went through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people think that someone would flippantly do that for an agenda or to score point against a family that they're having a feud with. I think it's sick. And when I saw, I think it was Piers Morgan, kind of not even alluding, just straight out saying it, it's made me sick. Made me absolutely sick that there were people out there that can think that.
Unfortunately, though, that is the reality for people with, like, a mental illness. I've been told loads of times that I'm a drama queen, that I'm exaggerating, that I'm a liar. And I'm like, sorry, like, I think if I'm going to lie about something, I'm not going to be like, I've got bipolar and I want to kill myself. Like, it's not... It's
just outrageous to me.
Yeah, it's not. Like, people at my work, like... In situations where you imagine people are going to be intelligent and have a bit of common sense, but people just don't, because they think that you're going to look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, when actually it's one in four, and I'm the one in four in this little situation, and it's that real. Like in most of your social circles, there's probably people that are experiencing these kind of thoughts and illnesses, but they just don't talk about them because they're still so hugely stigmatized. And when you do speak up, you get greeted with, you're a liar, you're exaggerating, you know, it's not that bad, keep your chin up, like all this nonsense, which you wouldn't say to someone if they told you that they had cancer or their kidneys were failing. You wouldn't say that. But when it's your brain, people just automatically just think it's nonsense, which is ridiculous.
I agree. And literally off the back of that, I was having a conversation with you, like, literally a few days ago, where I said, even worst case scenario, if she's lying, and I'm saying very worst case scenario, the fact is she made the claim. So even if she's lying, worst case scenario, the fact is she said, this is what happened. So the fact that no one even took into consideration, even if it was outlandish or whatever, the fact that she's made that very claim, I was seething because I'm like, all right, fair enough. What did you need to see? The slice marks on her wrist? Did you need to see physical evidence to take action? And that's what made me mad about it, because like, she's made the claim. All right, even if you don't believe her, which again, someone within your own family, you should initially believe, but even if worst case scenario, you don't believe her, she's made that claim.
Yeah.
So you should then, now that shifts the accountability, you have to do something about that, in my opinion. So yeah, that's where it got me, is just like, rah, even if you think that she's delirious or lying, she's made that claim. You need to do something now. Like, that's on you now. Like, she's come to you with her chest. You don't know what it took to come to you initially. And now you're just dismissing it. Like, even if you think it's not real, like, that's on you, man. And yeah, that's just a sickening thought. So
no matter what people's opinion is of Meghan, even if we're just talking about the family, take the public away and the media away, she was still carrying Harry's child.
Exactly.
So if she was even 25% serious, there was a chance that grandson, son, brothers, whoever, child could be harmed. Like, whether it be that she harmed herself and they both died, or she did something to herself, nothing happened to her, but the baby was harmed. Like, you shouldn't mess around. You shouldn't question things like that.
Bring
like,
that into chance.
What do you mean by, she was carrying Harry's child? What do you mean by that?
Well, when she went to them and said that she was suicidal, like, whoever she was speaking to, but like, we don't officially know.
Yeah.
Even if it was just HR, she was still carrying a prince's child. So even if they want to disregard her because they don't like her,
why are your eyes saying this? You look like you want to say something back. What's your response to that?
I just want to make sure that she's finished before I go in.
Like, I mean, obviously, I'm all for protecting her as well, but I don't understand how, when there's a completely innocent baby involved, an unborn child, like, how they want to throw her under the bus and pretend it wasn't real when,
No, absolutely. I get what you're saying. And, you know, a normal human response is everything you just said. But you've got to remember, this is the royal family. It's all about ranking. It, you know, when Princess Diana had had William and Harry, it was, oh, great, she's had the heir and she's had the spare. Do you know what I mean by that? That's how they were going on. They've always called him the spare. That's why he's been going around doing his madness, because no one cared about him. He is, from young, he's been shown that he is number two. So if he's number two, he's not going to get, him and his wife and you ain't going to get the same priorities that, you know, William and Kate will get. That's just how it's been, unfortunately, just the ranking of the situation. And just going back to stuff that you said about, like, people still do not have a basic understanding of mental health. And I think an element of it is the media has a massive part to play and how they depict mental health, and they're trying to get better on some soaps. But it's still really bad. And also as well, we live in a materialistic society where people want to see tangible things. And that's not only cars and money. It's also, if you think, or ill, show me. I need to see a scar. I need to see this. If you ain't showing me any of that, take care. And that's how people are, because they just don't believe. They can't, not everyone understands concepts. They just believe in things. And that's the issue. And just to sort of circle it back, you talked about peers, right? Boy, this dude, man.
I said I would on-site the guy if I ever saw him on roots.
He's like, I was just fascinated because obviously he's talking now. His new thing is, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. But the point is, though, he exercised his freedom of speech on that show. He said what he thought. Does that make sense? If this was China or Saudi Arabia, that is not going to go on. He would not even have the opportunity to say what he thought because he would have been gone by now. He would have been excommunicado by now. So what's he talking about? And then, like, when I was thinking about, like, from a, like, a legal point of view, things that Piers were saying, and they, like, I think it's like Article 10 of the Human Rights Act. It says that every human is allowed freedom of expression. He got that. But what he's upset about is that it's about the consequences of his expression. If you try to tell me my hair ain't good, great. You've now expressed your freedom of expression. Mm. When I cast you from head to toe, yeah, don't get upset. Because you know what? That is the consequence of you exercising your right. And that's the issue as well. Yeah. Mm. And actually, so again, from a legal point of view, the Public Order Act, I think it's 1986, Section 4 for the buffs out there.
Look and search it. Yeah, someone Google that, please. Get back to us if that's correct.
Fact checking all in one, I tell you that. So literally. That act, it talks about, you know, you can express freedom of expression, you can have a freedom of right, but with restrictions. And if it's going to be insulting and cause distress and distress or emotional harm to an individual, or it has or it may incite racial negativity, put it that way, then it's actually offence. So what Piers did was actually illegal in these acts. So I don't know what on earth he's going on about.
Big up man like Alex Beresford, you know.
Yes.
Hey, listen.
Big up that guy.
Listen. Yeah. What he legend. Done. What he done was big. Yeah. And it takes a lot to do that.
Especially to somebody like Piers Morgan, because he's such a big character and respected for whatever reason by a lot of people, like
he's not respected. That's, this is what people understand. What I was this say. Is what he's, he does. He got,
but
he
depends who you're speaking to.
And on the back of that, when he said that, just off the back of what Very said, is who he's respected by and who follows him. So when you see him on your screen on GMB saying, "I don't believe a word of it," so flippantly, that's going up to his believers and his followers and et cetera. And then that just increases the pressure on her. Do you get what I'm saying?
But so, no one likes him in the industry. He got run out of America back in 2014. He used to have his own show,
like
Larry
King. The fact of the matter is he's there on live television in the morning and he said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no care in the world. Yeah. He's just rolled it off his tongue. So that for me is where it changes. Obviously, since then, he's left, etc. When you watched it as well, my immediate reaction is, rah, you can't say that, brother. You can't say that. Like, whether you believe it or not, there's a time and a place. So if the cameras lock off, goes to commercial break, and you say, do you know what, bruv? I don't believe Meg, you know?
It's a completely different thing.
That's your opinion. But you are beaming it to the nation. Yeah, and obviously people are going to draw conclusions from what Piers Morgan has said. So for me, that's where it just went all mad. And yeah, like I said, if you're watching, Piers, somehow I will on-site you, brother.
Okay, wow, mate.
A question, because one thing that you said is he expressed his opinion and now he's faced the consequences. But do you think he's actually faced consequences? Because I don't.
No, I don't.
Personally.
Well, he's been removed from our screens for now, this screen.
But, and they said he resigned. So
what
for me,
he definitely
for me that is, that is the biggest issue, because
clarity on that.
They allowed him to resign. He wasn't sacked. So
but that's PR speak before he got sacked. He
can
come, get sacked.
He can come back at any time.
Exactly. He's come back before. He's resigned before and come back.
What they've allowed for him is protection.
Yeah.
Because
he's got the complexion for protection.
This is exactly what I was just going to say.
He's all right. Because, like, we never even said about our dear Prince Andrew out here.
Boy.
This is the problem. And for me, even us four people sitting here having a good debate on what's going on with Meghan and Harry and the royal family, I think there are definite elements that need to be in the public forum. We're going to get onto that in a bit. But mostly, I see it as a massive family breakdown and issue, you know, and it's something that I see in many families. And the real issue, I don't know why this is the main thing we're talking about in comparison to Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
And going that back to real. What we was talking about a little bit ago when Meghan was saying, I didn't get support from the family, you know, I can see why they would feel so hurt and so underprotected when, I don't even know what Prince Andrew's doing right now, but I know he's not spoken to the FBI about what he knows.
They're still hollering at man, you know? Man's not taking no calls.
For all I know, he's at home.
He's watching
Netflix.
He's got to
chilling, just saying, yo.
If he's watching,
I hope they don't come to me next, you know? You know, because this is providing him plenty of protection.
Yeah, and it's distraction. It's talking about, like, the royal family in the media in a completely different way, just deflecting from the major thing that is the elephant in the room, but nobody actually ever talks about. Like,
I don't think they talk about much there. I just want to go back to a point about Piers Morgan just really quickly and how he literally just tried to just slander Meghan's account of how of her experiences. My thing as well is just like, there's a lot of isms going on here, but racism is a big issue.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, she's a woman of colour. You with me? And black women, essentially, they are seen, they have this trope of being the strong black woman.
Yeah.
We can take it all. The new one is we're the mules of the society. Any hard work that needs to get done, you need to bring black women to help you do it. Mm. So if you're being told, if media representation that you're a strong black woman, you can take it all, you can take all the suffering, I think the element of it is like, well, you're black, sit down, man. What are you crying for? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm. It's supposed to be tough, take it.
That's happened to me once, you know, one of my friends, and boy, maybe not be friends after this. I won't say names. But
do you know what? This is the previous debate.
It's a real, man. It's a real. No names. But I just wanted just to add the situation that happened, and he's a black guy, and he turned around to me and went, "You know what, Liz? You're acting like a fragile white woman."
Huh? Right.
And my friend, who was white.
Wait,
my
sorry, friend. Just pause. Pause on that one.
I had one more bit. My white, blonde hair, blue eyed friend, who I love dearly, she's my bestie. She was next to me, and he was here, and he leaned past me to be like, "Sorry, whatever her name is. Sorry to say this to my friend, but Liz is acting like a fragile white woman. So you're already apologising to my white friend
because something."
Yeah, my friend was just like, anyway, she was obviously on my side. Go on.
If I ask for context, will it nuke that friendship? Because that is...
Wait, it's just a madness. No, just, I mean,
got that reaction.
All it was a certain situation happened where I was upset about, you know, something he didn't do. That was it, essentially. Okay. And then, you know, it was literally me, him, and a couple other people in a room like this, literally on couches chilling. So because I'm not really like an angry-ish person, I kind of take my anger out in jokes. So I'll be like, boy, you know, my man shanked me on this thing, you know, it hurt. Like, that's exactly how I said it in that tone. It was like, you fucking, like, I was like, man, like, he hurt me. And I was kind of bantering out with other people in the room.
Yeah.
And then obviously he got upset about it. Maybe it was just like, maybe he thought that wasn't the right forum to have brought it up. And that's understandable. Do you know what I'm saying? But it literally was my best friend and his best friend. That was the only other two people in the room. I was like, look, he done this.
So
as a family, as a community that we are, like, bringing out the issue, and we were all talking about it, debating like this. And I think he just got angry, maybe felt a bit attacked, but no one was really attacking him. And he just turned up, my friend was like, I hate to say it, but Liz is acting like a fragile white woman. And that really hurt me. He's apologized since and la la la. And he actually said, you act like a fragile white woman, and I now know how to talk to you. That's exactly the words he said to me. But my thing is like, this is another example of like, what black women, we can't be fragile. We can't say, you know what? I'm hurt by what you've done. Mm. You've upset my mental health. That's essentially what I was saying at the time. And that's exactly essentially what Piers said. Like, I don't care, you're a black woman. I don't care if you was going to try and kill you and your youth.
Because
I'll believe
you respond with aggression and how he expects
absolutely.
You to
act. Absolutely.
Because of a stereotype.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is what, it's like you said, this is the realest debate. I'm bringing out the real, innit,
man?
Yeah, let me delete the number now off the phone. I deleted you before you delete me. But you know what I'm saying? So that kind of came out for me with what Piers was saying. You're attacking a black woman. She can't be vulnerable. We can't be soft as well. We can't need help. That's what I kind of got out of that situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he also, like, has got a problem because she ghosted him.
That made me laugh so much
because, well, that's just an example of a man who's used to having loads of power that doesn't like it when somebody decides that they want to put boundaries in place. Like, he's spoken about it. She ghosted him. They went for drinks. She met Harry and they never spoke again. Like,
but he's got a gal though. He's kind of like he's out here.
Listen,
like, he's
got
a pure gal.
Some of the acts, he was moving soggy.
Listen,
some of the stuff
soggy.
He was at in her for is just ridiculous.
You got a gal. You got a youth.
Like,
yeah.
She cut him off anyway.
But also, that I don't believe in any universe was Meghan actually having a drink with him for a date. Have you seen him and have you seen her?
I didn't see the capacity in that.
No, but
I didn't see it in a relationship.
No, it's worth it.
That creepy uncle.
But we say that as real people. But when there's money involved, you know what? My man's ball patch is looking very nice now. When I'm seeing he's got 50 mil in the look at new celebrities. No, we say that, but let's be real. I'm not saying it's not for me. It's not for me. But what I'm saying, how many celebrity couples have we seen when my man's, do you know what I'm saying? 2 foot
not
two
even
woman's
celebrities, a model. Let's be honest.
Money talks. So I'm not saying that she would ever move to him, but what I am saying is, as a white, rich, privileged man, he thinks he can get any gal from age, from legal, barely legal, from 18 on to whatever. Yeah. So that's how he was moving. Yeah. So we're like, of course you don't have a chance in hell. But there's people who are more unattractive than him who have the same amount of money that is getting supermodels.
Do you know what it is? I don't even think it was a fully sexual thing with him.
No.
I just think he thought like, oh, well, I'm having this drink. I've carted her off in the cab. What, I got her to marry royalty.
Mm.
Where's my bringing?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But you're not entitled to one. You just had a couple of drinks with her.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Like,
it was a singular encounter. Mm. What else did you expect her to invite you to the wedding, baby showers?
Mm. Yeah.
What, you're going to be goddad.
Be the new like royal correspondent.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe in his head, he thought he had ideas of grandeur of that. And because that didn't come into fruition in any way, he was like, what? Yeah. Every day since, he's just chosen violence. Like at it's first, like, you see the... Because I saw that the earlier interviews that he would do where he'd talk about it. And at first, you'd see it, he'd say it in a jokey way. But then the more interviews you see, the more scorn you see in his face. Yeah. And the more he's seething. And the more you get to see he don't like the situation.
Mm.
And then it just flipped to, you know what? I'm going to done her dance.
Mm.
And ever since, do you know for what? At least 2 years, I have seen an agenda against her. Talking about personal family matters that don't matter. So what, she don't talk to her dad? What's that got to do
many
with anything?
People don't speak to their parents.
Exactly. I don't talk to my pops. What's that got to do with anything, you know? That's got largely nothing to do with her character. And to be honest, he even admitted what he done was wrong, you know? And if that is her decision to cut him off, is her decision to cut him off. Why is it, why do you have, feel as though you have the, can't think of the word right now, but the audacity to step into that.
Can I tell you why? I think it was him knowing what sort of, I'm not even going to hide it. Yeah, what black people think of him in general. And he saw a chance to say, do you know what? I've got a black friend. That's what I saw. I saw Piers Morgan trying to tap in and be like Meghan's friend so she can maybe at him back. And that's him in to say, do you know what? I don't hate black people. We know he does.
Never. That would never work.
We know he does. But that was his chance for him to say, I've got a black friend. And she locked it off. And from there, he's had no way back. And yeah, he was butthurt about it. And he chose violence every day.
Wow. I just think he has a lot of power in society. He's white.
Yeah.
He's a man. Having these two combinations means that normally every single type of door is open for you.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? But now you know how to feel like a black person where, you know what, sometimes doors are shut. Sometimes people don't want to be associated with you. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like it, not having that privilege and power that he holds in so many different areas. And here's a woman that was like taking back her power. I'm like, you know what, I don't care if you're white, rich, and, you know, on GMB or whatever the show is called. You're no one.
Yeah.
And
that pains him. That pains the fragile male ego, particularly... Yeah. The white one. Not saying all white men have fragile egos. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if you're used to having being from a place of privilege, you think every door and every person is accessible.
And he 100% feels like that. And he plays on it. Like, he's actually a caricature of a middle-class white man. Like, he completely panders to that. Like, the way he talks, the way he dresses, the way he addresses people. Like, he doesn't give a shit about what people think about him because he just oozes that like
arrogance.
Yes. Yeah.
And we need to be careful because reason why he's popular, I believe personally, is that he's getting a lot of attention from the far right. And what I've noticed, as in basically far-right extremists and so forth, and that's and he's catering to that market.
Yeah.
And there's something not everyone knows about, but people who are maybe gamers on the internet may have heard of incels, which are essentially men who game, but they particularly hate women. Doja Cat was part of that quite recently in a quiet era. Wow. Basically, they just insult women and they think that women owe them sex, basically, or owe them the right. They're called incels, and it's a fraction of the far right.
Look that up.
Yeah, you know them. You know them man that are like just in their boxers, like overweight. Stains like those type of people. You know them gamers there,
and they're quite young. Some of them are quite young as well. They're not just like 30. Brothers. Yeah, but that's like a big rising thing, and it's a fraction of the far right. So some of the speech that person I think Piers gives is to those individuals, far right. And what I'm finding really scary is that lately the far right movement is getting sanitized and PR'd up. So does anyone know who Tony Robinson is? Mm-hmm. Everyone should know who he is. He's like one of the biggest far right people. But he was on GMTV a few years ago in a suit talking. He got one of the biggest platforms in the UK to talk about far right stuff. So that shows that they are now trying to dress it up and PR it up so that it's becoming an acceptable opinion on mainstream to a point you have peers saying what he's saying about a black woman who experienced a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, given that then and the public perception, what do you think going from here now, the public perception included, where do they go? Like, now, what's the next step? Where does it go from here? Like, I don't know.
We haven't even talked about the titles yet.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Actually, yeah, let's let's rewind that a little bit more and talk about
the conversation.
the conversation that happened that everyone is like,
yeah,
we need context behind it. We don't know what it could have been.
I don't care however that was said. Yeah. There's no context that's ever acceptable. If I'm having a baby with somebody of a different race and anyone in my family is bringing up my baby's color, that's like not going to be acceptable. Like,
but it happens a lot. I do not condone it.
I understand that it happens.
I do not condone it, but it happens.
No, I've been in like mixed race relationships before and have had things said.
Like, spill the tea, man. This is the realest debate. No names. Okay, so
I feel like someone might listen to me like, are you talking about this? No, it's just like I have mainly had things where people have said like it's confusing for the kids. Like, if you have a mixed race child, like they don't know what their identity is. But then that lies on both parents to make sure that the child is educated.
Absolutely.
And I think there is a lot of ignorance around that.
But do you think when those people said that they were being racist?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that definitely the conversations that I had with people came from a place of that I don't think they believed they were being racist, but 100% they were. And it was, I've had a lot of difficult conversations with family members and have distanced myself from family members because of their opinions on men that I've dated, because I just don't, like, I don't have to have them in my life. And if they're going to have those opinions, I can try and educate you to a point, but if fundamentally we're just going to see things differently, whether it's I'm dating a person of a different race or they're just my friends, if you've got those views and you're in my family, I have a wider circle of people that I love. So if that's your opinion, it doesn't matter if it's someone I'm sleeping with or it's my friend. If you're going to have opinion of people I love, then actually, I just don't want you in my life.
And it goes back to my original question that I had back in 2016. Like, is who we love still political? And clear, I know that's another topic in itself, interracial relationships, but it shows that it still is. And I think for people who are, one thing that really bothers me is the fetishization of mixed race people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've previously been in an interracial relationship and people will be like, oh my God, you're going to have cute caramel babies.
Yeah.
I'm not
that's
cute.
One of the worst things.
Like, cameraman, zoom in on this face, man. Like, are you going to be cute, man? Like, what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about? But maybe it would be equally cute if they were mixed as well. Like, yeah, I'm not saying this. No, do you know what I mean?
It is ridiculous. And I've hated that because people, like some of my friends and like family members have said to me, oh, come on, Ray, when are you going to have a baby? Because they're going to be so cute and brown.
So like,
bleh. 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 And that's never been my thing, because if that was my thing, I'm 35. I would have had a baby by now.
You choose 3 years by now.
It's not like...
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
If that was my sole reason for having like an interracial relationship, then I would have done it by now.
Absolutely.
So it's... And it's things like that that are just disgusting, but not acceptable, which goes back to my point that if you're bringing in like race... I don't think that it's ever acceptable. I've had those arguments and those heated conversations with people to try and educate them. But there's some people that just think that can't be educated, unfortunately.
I've got online anti-racist classes, BIPOC bookcase, Holland. Bring them over here, man. I'll send them.
Yeah, listen, I was a part of it. I can speak up for it. I learned a lot.
Thank you.
And literally, going back to the original question is for me... They were offended. That's the whole point to
me. Absolutely. Mm.
So, even if it was said in the nicest fucking way.
You offended
them? Yeah. They were offended. That's what it boils down to for me. So, again, from there, the accountability shifts because now you've offended me.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about that? Now, on top of that, I've told you I'm offended.
Yeah.
What is happening? Do you understand? But instead of that, it's gone full circle and it's like, oh, do you think it was offensive or could it have been offensive? Or the point in being is they were offended. Mm. They took offense to it. So the question then should be eradicated. Was it offensive? Was it said in an offensive
way? That's racial gaslighting. That's what
all of
doing.
That, yeah. to yeah. me, yeah. once they're offended, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's just not how
forget,
I see it.
Let's not forget, the conversation wasn't had with Megan. Mm. Yeah. She wasn't there. Mm. So no one can say, oh, maybe she just took offense. Mm. No, she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, the conversation was had with Harry.
Mm.
He took offense.
Yeah, and he understands the background of where it's come from. Mm. He will understand, like, he knew the person, like where it was coming from. Exactly. That's his family member. Mm. So if he was offended, like, and not making I'm not saying any allowances should have been made for that conversation, but he knew where that was coming from and felt it was necessary to tell Megan. Mm. If he thought it was just genuinely an ignorant comment from whoever, he might have then not told Megan because he would have known how that would have felt to the mother of his children or whatever.
Mm.
But he obviously was offended enough to share that with her. So...
Which he should as his wife.
He definitely did right.
Do you guys think that they should have shared the name of the person?
I find it really weird that they were like, it wasn't the Queen or like Prince Philip.
It's a game of fucking guess who. We're just flicking the cards. It wasn't him. All right. It wasn't the Queen. All right.
But I think it's, I think it's like definitely pointed the finger at Prince William. Charles and William.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think you can take any other names off the table because.
I know who done it.
Who? Allegedly at the front and at the end.
Who's your name?
Allegedly, I think it was extremely close to home.
Mm. Yeah.
Extremely close
because
to home.
That's why I think that they took...
You get me, my bro.
I think that's why they took the Queen and that out, because it's throwing enough shade but not making it obvious.
Mm. Charles ain't even taking his calls for a while. I thought, wow. Like,
yeah, that's dark.
Wow. Man. I thought that was living.
Kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I get why they didn't put the name out there. At the end of the day, it's still family.
Mm.
And they still might not want to absolutely incinerate every bridge.
Yeah, they're still working to collect her inheritance.
Yeah, but what makes it hard for us is that I think we deserve to know.
Yeah.
As a public as a monarchy, and as someone that could potentially be our king, who we will have to...
Well, yeah, if we're talking William or Prince Charles...
Mm. They could
potentially
be
a racist king.
Mm. Yeah, we could essentially be saying, God save the king.
No, yeah. Like, which king hasn't been racist? Because remember, slavery started and the monarch was there.
Wow, yeah, this is true.
We're trying to find out who it isn't.
You're just spilling the tea.
It's true. It's true.
No,
it's true.
It's true. Like, 100%.
It's true.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, I mean, just going back to your... To so many questions, really. But I do think, you know, reading the Queen's statement... Oh, it's a private thing. It was
dead.
Nah.
That was, like you said, absolutely dead comment. Because my thing is, okay, look, okay, we have the sovereign grant, okay? It's an act of parliament, and it essentially means that we fund the monarchy. We essentially pay, I think it's something on average of £1.24 a year for them. In 2018...
I pay what?
£1.24 a year per British subject. But apparently in 2018, 2019, we gave them 88 million.
Mm-hmm.
With me of our funds to fund them. Oh, and that was 10 million more than the previous tax year. So yeah. Up until 2019, we know that in the last year we gave them 88 million. So when the Queen is saying it's a private thing, no, you are the monarch, you are a public figure. The issue is of public interest. We fund you to do all your pomp and ceremony. You need to hold us with names and what you're gonna do about it in the public.
Yeah. Someone needs to be held accountable.
Needs to, because the thing is, though, we are talking about an institution which has systemic racism and oppression and sexism. It needs to be a top-down, shake-down thing, and everyone gets educated. Yeah. And I think by just saying, it was X or it was Y, that's not going to solve the issue.
No.
Because that mentality is born from ignorance, from privilege, from all the isms that we've talked about. And that is the issue. That is a system that needs to be changed, not the individual.
Yeah.
And, just kind of touching on that, I think another reason as to why you can't really bring it behind closed doors anymore is the monarch want the Commonwealth to work, right? It's the last string they have.
Thread. String is strong.
Thread.
Thread is weak, mate.
They are literally fingertips like that on the edge of the cliff, right? But what they've done is they've taken someone from the Commonwealth and done fuck you with them. And everyone has seen that and they don't like it. I'm seeing...
But Joey, I'm sorry. I keep on going back. I'm beating the drum. You're saying they took one person. No, they stole a whole generation of people from Africa and effed them up. Do you know what I'm saying? And we're still living to this second of it. So what... And that's another thing. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go on.
You know, when you're watching the interview, let's be real. Like, I'm not trying to disparage anything that Megan said, but when she's like, I didn't Google him. Mate, I Google my colleague, mate. Like, I'm like, do you know what I mean? Let alone someone I'm going to marry. Are you mad? Like, you're on Google. I'm going to page 10. I'm looking through the pages.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Let's be real. I'm not out here on my own. Hands up. Put your hand up if you've Googled someone.
Come on.
You talking? Yeah. Thank you. You're telling me the Prince of England, you're not going to try and do a 1-2-1-2.
No, he was definitely Googled.
Sorry, back to your point, Joey.
Let me clarify my point. So whilst I agree with you, they've been doing this for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
We're talking about people's perception now.
Absolutely. That
she is the focal point of what they have done, right? Yeah. And people aren't happy with that.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that they need to do a lot of addressing. It can't just be, we'll deal with it behind closed doors. Mm-mm. We're not racist, but we'll take the allegation seriously. What was it? Recollations may differ, or
you're lying.
Bullshit. It's not going to wash. It's not going to wash. It has to be out in the public domain. You actually have to, even if you want to bat them to the hilt and say they didn't say this, this is their version. You actually have to say who that conversation was with. Now, you can't let it wash away. People have to know, and I think people will keep banging on about it until
the name comes. Just on the back of that as well, I just want to go back to Harry himself. Like, you know, his behavior before, when we were talking about the early days, was very suspect and questionable.
Well, can I talk about that something again? Sorry, I've got everything to...
That's why we brought you on here.
Why are you here tonight?
I think they want to do your own show.
I'm not apathetic no more. I am energetic. But I want to say, like, I know, like, V, you talked about, like, oh, he done this. He went to Vegas and did what all man them do. Chat up your gal, bang, do him. He was doing him. So to me...
Did he need to do it with a swastika on his arm? No, really.
He didn't do a swastika. That's a different situation. Yeah, he went to a party and he did it. Oh my God, I am not a Nazi apologist. I want to put that out there. I do not. But what I'm trying to say is two different things. So people conflate the two. They're like, oh, he was in Vegas doing this. He was in Vegas being a man in his 20s. Banging pure gal, like that picked off the table. He was being a single man. The issue with the swastika was disgusting. It was awful. But you got to remember as well, like, his grandfather was part of the Nazi empire. Like, and that's not a lie. Factcheckme.com, holler at me. It's not. Do you know what I'm saying? So you got to remember, he came from that system. But what I love about him is, and this is what I want to say, because obviously I do think anti-racism to all hues. Like, we can make mistakes, but are we going to atone for our mistakes? Mm-hmm. And what I saw on Oprah was a man that had done the work, and you know what? He's ready to burn a bridge with his wife and ride out to sunset. Do you know what I mean? That is what you call a true ally. I'm going to turn back on an institution, my family, to take my wife or my child, and that is someone who's a true ally, and who's made mistakes but he's seen something. But anyway, go on.
Was what I was getting
it's cool,
it's kind of highlighting you know how early Harry was behaving to Harry now, who, because they got married what, a year after, from 16 to 17. His behavior from then, there's not much we can really say. And I just want to say that he's actually a real one, because that conversation that was had about the youth, he could easily just dismissed it. Do you understand? He could have just held that to himself and been like, oh, fuck, the family are fucked, you know, but I'm not going to tell Meg about it. He could have really just held it back. But the fact that he didn't, and he went on to tell her, and now it's evolved into this situation, just shows a level of maturity from him.
Absolutely.
And also, going on, if I had, I'm going to be a bit tricky here, if I had a suspicion, even a slight inkling that my gran killed my mum for a similar situation, let's be real,
let's be real.
If I had even a 1% inkling that my mum was killed for having a different view or a different opinion, let's be real, that's what I feel happened, is that obviously Diana had her differences. She was with Dodi Al-Fayed, I think his name was. And we all know what transpired from there. It was literally
happened in the tunnel, not sure, but
well, it was almost a similar story of they were hounded, the press were on them, and it eventually led to them crashing. So her actual death was from that media hounding and all the pressure that they were getting. So spinning it back to Harry, if he has grown up with that kind of rumor mill being floated around and all that kind of surrounds that, I don't blame him for how he's acted. And people are saying that, oh, is he going against the grain, and is he trying to be an outcast from the family, etc. But like I said, if I grew up with that rumor going around that possibly the same happened to my mum, you know what? Fuck the family. Do you understand? You've already killed my mum for having these kind of feelings. So who am I?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like you said earlier, he's already been embedded with he's the second and whatever, whatever. Yeah. So really, not that he's got nothing to lose, but what has he really got to gain?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that really interlinks with the title situation. So basically, when... Can I have some? I need some like historian music. Or something.
No.
I'm not a fan of the roles. I swear to God, I feel like you've been doing your research.
This is my encyclopedia today.
No, it's my dad. My dad was a royal watcher, so he passed it down to it. It went for my dad. I never would have went to Fort Park, because back in the day when, but back in the day when Diana took, I remember my dad reading the Sun, maybe I'll take my children to Fort Park now. Diana, let me take my youth. So I'm like, you know, bless up Diana, man, for getting me to Fort Park. But essentially, this is why I think it's connected to the whole titles situation. Because when Princess Diana divorced Charles, the Queen said, you know what, you can keep your HRH title. Do you know what I'm saying? Because essentially, you are the mother of the future king.
Yes.
But because Charles was being petty, we know all that situation, what was going on with them, he said, nah, like, he wanted her to have it stripped. And because it had, because she had that title stripped, that's why she didn't have any good security. And that's what's led to what it was led. So that's why he's so upset about the title thing with Archie. And this is why I'm saying, from what I said from the start, what is Granny up to on the real, okay? Because this is the issue. I think it was King George V who was, King George V, who is Harry's great-great grandfather. So like in 1917, he actually put out like a special order that said, because there's so many, you know, they all having kids all over the place. He's just said, know what, I'm going to limit how many people get that HRH title, which equals a prince or prince title. So he said, only now the person that gets that HRH title is if you're going to be directly ascending to the throne. So Prince Charles, Prince William, and what's it called? Even Prince George and William's son, right? They're all going to be kings. So they all have to get the title anyway. And up until my grandkids will get that HRH title, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So either you're going to be king or queen at some point, or you're the grandchildren. So people like
it was never a possibility
because people like Archie, he isn't the grandparent. He isn't the grandchild of the monarch, which is the queen. He's the great grandchild. So he's only one removed. He was never going to get a title. That's fair enough. That's how it's done, okay? But when William had his three kids, the Queen stepped in and issued a special order to make sure that Charlotte got that title.
Archie didn't get the same treatment.
Okay. So it's like, hold on, Louis and Charlotte are not going to be king and queen anytime soon. That's George's place. So if you can step in to give them that extra special order,
why can't your great-grandchild, like Archie,
why don't you give it to Archie?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the beef is. So one, you've got my mum got stripped of that title, and then that's what she had any good security. That's how she ended up dying. Yeah. And now my only child that I'm having, we're in a very hostile environment. You're saying you're not going to step in the way you stepped in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But all you can give me is a pearl earrings and
what I don't
and a blanket on
you. Yeah.
Thing that I don't understand. I don't know if you might even know the answer. But
I may not for once.
Right. So. We have Prince Harry.
Yeah.
And we have Prince Andrew, right?
Yeah.
We can safely say Andrew has pretty much been sacked, right?
He's bun.
Yeah.
He's been sacked.
Cancelled.
But what Meghan and Harry have essentially said is, we're not saying that we want to quit.
Hmm.
We're telling you we want to work a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And not even completely differently, because from what they were saying from that interview, other royals are doing the kind of step back role that they wanted to do.
They just wanted
to do it in a different country.
Mm.
So the thing that
still a Commonwealth country, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Still a Commonwealth country. So the thing that I don't get is, like, Harry's saying, like, yeah, I still want to work this, that, the other, but they take away, was it his military ranks and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But Prince Andrew's been sacked, but
he's still got
all his titles, all his security, all his military. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
And I think it's the patronages that you're talking about. He's still got all his military, whatever medals that he has,
okay.
But he's not the head, essentially the mascot of these.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's a difference. And
he's not putting on that suit and flying the helicopters.
Yeah,
and
it's
all
a bit like, he's not going to, you know, like when people have their pass out parade, it's normally someone from the royal that will come in and shake their hands and say, like a mascot, a patron, the face of it.
The puppet. Yeah. Okay.
They all have a royal seal. So he had the patrons for the military because he worked in military. So what they've done is stripped that away from him. They're not stripping his military achievements, just that he's no longer the face of these military.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different. Because I was quite confused about that. Like, wow, he was actually out there, like boots on the ground doing the dirt.
And he keeps all those medals.
You're going to take it off him just because he wants to go to Canada or America, or whatever it is.
The woman he loves.
But the institution, though, isn't madness. It? If you don't do it, it's either our way or you get dust out. And that's what happened. They didn't do it his way, and then Tyler Perry had to find room for them.
I didn't even know he was a billionaire as well. Tyler Perry. Proper savior on that.
Absolutely. For many people. And you know what he says as well? Don't wait to get a seat at that table, build your own. That's why he built his own studio in Atlanta.
Love
and
that.
Do you know what I'm saying? And that's the truth. Stop looking for acceptance in these white institutions.
Yeah.
Like, build your own.
Even if it is your family.
Exactly.
Sometimes you have to go against the grain.
I want to add one more thing, because I'm really pissed off about, you know, about the backpack to media representation and stuff just speaking about Prince Andrew. Like, Prince Andrew, Andrew independently is one of the most wealthiest royals, because he's done so many deals with, like, say, Saudi Arabia and so forth. So it was quite interesting when, you know, one of the attack pieces they were doing was like, oh, Meghan wore these earrings that were from Saudi Arabia, some dictator. That was quite a recent one he did a couple of weeks ago. But I'm like, hold on, Prince Andrew's been doing mad deals with Saudi,
all
why
sorts.
He's won so much. And then I was even reading, like, in 2015, when King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia died, the Buckingham Palace put the flag at half mast to represent that. to respect him. And Prince Charles even flew out there to go attend a funeral. But apparently, Saudi Arabia was one of the biggest, you know, countries for human rights abuses in the world. And they can do all that. But then because Meghan wore some earrings that were from Saudi Arabia, from some king who's done with atrocities. Oh my God, she's awful. So
it was the avocado for me. I just said,
jolting. It was straight out of Compton for me. That,
oh my God, you said that to me the other day. I literally fell off my chair. It made no sense.
And what is scary about the whole avocado thing, just to add, is because that is a big issue. Avocados, that is becoming an ethical issue for people out there. It's because there's such a massive demand for it. But what they did is that they conflated the two. So now they put the avocado industry with Meghan. Do you know what I'm saying? And it has nothing to do with each other. She's a consumer. There's a massive industry that are doing a lot of negative things to the farmers out there. But now they conflated it. And forever in everyone's minds, those two will now be interlinked.
I want to wrap up with one more question, right? Because we've been at it.
On here to talk in
literally, we could be here for about two more hours.
Come on.
But one thing, so I mentioned him a little bit beforehand, but the day afterwards, I saw Meghan Markle's dad, jump on Good Morning Britain to give his version of... Well, not version of events, but his hot take on everything that happened. I was very annoyed watching him, to be honest.
I didn't see it. What, like?
So, just a couple of highlights. He kind of went on there and was like, the royal family is not racist.
Like this with the royal family, mate.
So he pretty much rubbished straight away.
He was dancing on air.
A white man said that racism doesn't exist. Okay.
So he pretty much rubbished everything Meghan Harry was saying. I'll be honest, I can't remember what he said around kind of her mental health.
He said he felt sad. I watched it. You know I did.
One thing that actually really, really got on my nerves was, I think it was Susanna Reid. She was asking him like, obviously, you fell out with Meghan because of all of this. You put these things out. And at first, I actually did feel a little bit sorry for him. I could hear where he was coming from. But where I was kind of like, was when Meghan came to him and said, listen, have you been speaking to the press? If you have, let us know, like, the fact they can fix it, but we need to know if you've done it.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't do that. It turned out that he did, right? So because of that, she cut him off. No matter what any of us think, if that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. That's her decision, right? But what was really getting on my nerves was Susanna Reid was like, oh, so she cut you off because you put, you were talking to the press.
So but like,
why are you still talking to the press? And he goes, oh, I'll keep talking to them until she starts talking to me.
Every 30 days. It's every
like,
30 days.
It's like, what? Yeah. He's like, all she has to, if she wants me to stop, she just has to get in contact with me. And it's like, you do know you're feeding the cycle.
Still round and round.
So like, for me, he was just an entire arsehole.
And a manipulator by the sounds of it.
But I don't know if any of you guys, I know you saw his interview.
What did you think, B?
I didn't watch it. I literally, like, the first I heard was then, like, Joey just spoke about it. So.
For me, it was just, he showed his arse, innit?
Yeah.
You can't be saying, I'm going to keep doing this until she talks. That's like, so you're basically trying to blackmail her, saying that I'm going to keep talking to the media until you come and you're a waste man, bro.
And you know what the worst thing about that is? Idiot. He's saying that a day after she's saying a part of what made me not want to live anymore is the press. But he's still enabling and feeding that.
He should be like realizing the error of his ways, really, and being like, oh, these people really are ruining my daughter's life.
Exactly.
But I think, I mean, again, I'm playing devil's advocate out here. It's not my view, but I actually watched the interview. And the thing is, though, he's never met Harry. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to think from a psychological point of view. He has no loyalties because it's like, you want me to be backing you Do you know what I'm saying? You want me to be backing you, but you've not even spent some time to sit down with me and show me your man. You with me? But now you want me to be out and rolled. And he said it, I'm getting hounded. And look what happened with Britney Spears. When you get hounded by paparazzi, especially in America, it is ferocious. He even said someone was living next door to him, a reporter was living next door, taking photos of him 24/7. And he said he got no help. Allegedly, he got no help from her, or apart from some random phone calls. He even said in the interview that he was in hospital after having a heart attack, and she was ringing him, saying, where to tell, like, and he's just like, I've just got a stent put in my heart, like, and again, you've not come and seen me. So if you've not had chance to come and see me, then
I think there's more underlying issues.
And this
there,
is the thing. I don't think he's just like, I think he's asked her what he's done, but I think the point is he's so detached from her, she's not trying to build that. So he's just like, you're just another person to me now. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and you gotta remember, he lived with her. I mean, she lived with him for a few years. He actually won the lottery, had a good job anyway. He was a lighting director in LA. He actually won the lottery. He put her in private school, he paid for her university. So he's not some waste alcoholic man that was just on the road. He did probably more for her than the mum did. In the point of, like, financially, he gave her the best of everything. And that's why she has that beef with Samantha, because Samantha, obviously, is the older sister, is like, wow, dad didn't do it, and none of this for me. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of it. So one thing the Queen did say, which is like, oh, this needs to be handled in private. I think that family need to handle their stuff in private, personally. I'm not out here trying to tell Meghan to talk to him or nothing like that, but that needs to deal. But then again, it's like sometimes you've got to be the bigger person in the sense of how, if he's saying, I will stop doing it when you start talking to me, then just give him 30 minutes on a private number and shut the thing down. Do you know what I mean? You're both in America now, do a 20 minute thing, no cameras.
He's not met his grandkid
and he's not met his son-in-law. Bring them 30 minutes, no cameras, you come to my spot, have a chat, keep it basic, and maybe that will shut him up. But she's not doing that. I'm not saying that she has to, but you can't be on Oprah, you can't be here, and the man that's essentially raised you ain't got 20 minutes to meet with him. So I think that's a private issue that needs to be resolved, and I do think she's getting contact with him, but I think what he did was awful, and you know, he did sell her out, but then she's kind of left him to out there at the same time
with the vultures.
So let him be part of it. That's my thoughts anyway.
We had a lot of your thoughts today.
Edit it all out.
This is the realest. We keep it all in, everything, baby.
Trust me.
I want to thank you lot so much for coming out, man. Like, Liz, your knowledge, your wisdom has been much appreciated, and you lot are more than welcome to come on again, man.
Really? We're going to have 5 hours for us,
You mean your own show, to be honest.
I was just going
to
say, I feel like you've got a new co-host.
No.
Get speaker in that.
No, I'm going to call me a TV pundit. I'm an apathetic podcast listener now. I'm going to add that to mine.
That's the next title.
Thank you, V, because obviously you share some personal things, man. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure that's going to help people who are like struggling, and hopefully go out and access that support. You know.
Lastly, I know you guys mentioned quite a few organizations that people can get in contact with. What were some of them again?
For me, it's Samaritans, Mind are amazing as well. They do outreach. Please contact your GP, because your GP has access to so many psychological therapies.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if any others want to add.
Yeah, I would say they would be your top ones. If you're younger, there's a text service called Shout. Mm. If you just Google Shout, it's like a really short text number. But other than that, I would always say Samaritans is your top choice.
And your friend or a family member. But sometimes we do go for people and they don't understand what we're going through. Mm. And I think that can kind of stop us from getting that help. But you got to understand, people don't always understand mental health. They don't get it. So don't let that deter you in continuing to get in support from someone who will eventually understand.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Wise words. Yeah. You guys' apps and stuff and contact details are going to be there anyway, so people can even contact you guys personally.
I mean, I am a mental health social worker as well, so I'm always on the internet, clearly, so please come follow at me in it.
All right, anything else, Jerry?
Nah, just happy to have the discussion. Happy to have both of you on as well.
Lovely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm really into, like, you know, men giving women the space to amplify their voices. And you guys have really done that. So thank you again, guys.
No worries.
We will definitely continue to do so, because both of you are coming back.
Oh, well,
word on that, trust me.
Every time I'm going to come back, I'm going to lose a friend, man. But you're going to be my only friend by the end of this time.
And just so you know, every time I'll be saying, yeah, Liz, can you add some context to that? Now, Liz, the friendship's already gone. Tell the public what they want to know. What's the context?
No, I can't. No. You know, like you said, the Queen's on a thread for Commonwealth. Like, we're on a friend. Let me see if we can build this into something. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, and that's us signing off.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.